Thank you for downloading or podcasting this track. This recording has been remastered to provide the best sound possible given the audio environment of the original recording session. Mosaic Silver Spring is a faith community located just inside the Capitol Beltway in Montgomery County. For more information, please visit our website, www.mosaicsilverspring.org, and we'll see you in the neighborhood.
Good morning, church. My name is Sarah, and I'll be doing the scripture reading this morning. It comes from Daniel chapter 10, verse 1 through chapter 11, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a word was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belshazzar. And the word was true, and it was a great conflict, and he understood the word and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground. And behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia and came to make you understand and what is to happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision is for days yet to come. When he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and was mute. And behold, one in the likeness of the children of man touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke. I said to him who stood before me, O my Lord, by reason of the vision pains have come upon me, and I retain no strength. How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly loved, fear not, peace be with you, be strong and of good courage. And as he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince. And as for me, in the first year of Darius the Mede, I stood up to confirm and strengthen him. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, please be with Joel as he preaches on your word this morning. Please quiet our minds and open our hearts to hear your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sarah, for reading the passage this morning and for your prayer. One of the differences and when it comes to swimming, can be played out. If you think of yourself swimming in a swimming pool, it's very, very different from going to the coast and then trying to swim in the ocean. And so the act of swimming is much the same. The mechanics, how you breathe, right? Not much of that changes. But the forces that are in play, the sense of controlled environment or not, are radically different. And so if someone has spent their lives swimming or learning to swim in a swimming pool, and then all of a sudden you take them out to the ocean, you have to prepare them for a very different reality. Because you have everything from marine life that is around them to the saltiness of the water, to the waves and how they move, to how the tide flows. And there's an incredible number of factors that are uncontrolled, factors that are beyond control, really, no matter how strong of a swimmer you may be. And so as a church community and as a church in the Western Hemisphere, as a church in the United States where we meet for worship, as a church in a city, we find ourselves sometimes swimming through our life when it comes to faith, and it may feel a little bit more like a swimming pool. And the more that we think of our faith as something that we have control over, the more that we think of it as something like, oh, I've got the mechanics of this down, and I'm an incredibly competent person, and in fact, I'm pretty strong at this, the more disorienting it can be when we get placed in a setting where things are beyond our control. And so that helps us understand, I think, why apocalyptic can oftentimes be something that we struggle with as a church community. Why Daniel may get some play in Sunday school, but doesn't always get play from American pulpits. And it's because apocalyptic is a word from God designed for those who are swimming in the ocean, for Christians who are working out their faith in a time and place where things are radically not in their control, no matter how good of a swimmer they may be, no matter how faithfully they have gone through life. And so if you have grown up thinking of yourself swimming in a pool of faith, feeling like I'm competent and I'm in control when it comes to my life and when it comes to my faith, then hearing about someone swimming in the ocean can be radically different. As we have chosen to go through the book of Daniel, part of the reason why, as the church leadership chose Daniel, is that we envision people being introduced to the swimming in the ocean of faith in new ways in our current year. So if 2019 and before we're swimming in the pool, it feels a lot like 2020 is swimming in the ocean. Am I right? And so in that way, our hope is that the apocalyptic message of Daniel meets us there. It meets us in the ocean of faith in 2020 and allows us to expand our imagination that maybe in ways if we would have heard the book of Daniel in years past, it wouldn't have quite sunk in. We would have said, I got it. I'm a great swimmer. But now as forces toss us about in ways that we often don't control, no matter how good of a swimmer you are, no matter how mature your faith may be, the word of Daniel provides us hope in the midst of circumstances that we find difficult and even overwhelming. And so we come to the book of Daniel, chapter 10, and it's important to note that really chapters 10, 11, and 12, it's really all one combined vision. But we felt like that would be a lot to ask Sarah to read, and it would be a lot to ask you to digest. And so we're going to take chapter 10, which is kind of the introduction, the opening to this vision, and then next week we'll conclude with those last two chapters. And so this week and next week really should be taken together as part of this final vision. Daniel, one of the chief characters of the book of Daniel, remains in Babylon, and the use of his Babylonian name in verse 1 as chapter 10 opens up as it marks the third year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that Daniel, who was named Belshazzar, reminds you that he is still an exile. He has been taken away many years earlier and given this Babylonian name to go together with his Hebrew name, and he remains in exile. And here, maybe in this third major vision in the second half of the book of Daniel, we get an introduction and opening in verse 1 that the word was true. This word, this vision, it comes to Daniel. And it involves cosmic warfare. In verse 1, the second half, at least in the ESV translation, it says that the word, it was a great conflict, a great war, a cosmic battle. And so as this chapter unfolds, we are getting a sense of a broadened apocalyptic imagination. If you remember a few weeks ago when we talked about what do I mean when I use that word apocalyptic, and there were a number of items that we talked about, but one of them is this sense that there is a battle going on, but it's not just a battle that we see with our own human eyes here on earth, but at the same time, there's a cosmic battle that wages, and that these events are connected. And so in chapter 10, when Daniel is praying, he has been mourning for 3 weeks. He has been fasting. He has been praying. And there on the banks of a river, a divine messenger, a supernatural messenger shows up, and he brings word to Daniel. And so we get a description of this messenger that hey, there is more going on, Daniel, than just what you can see. There is a cosmic battle raging. And in doing so, he is shining a light, so to speak, for Daniel on the realities of this vision of the future. A great battle that's going to come, but it's not just a battle involving the people of God alone, and it's not even a battle on earth alone, but it is a battle that God is going to take up arms and fight on the part of his people. So that when Daniel and his friends, when the people of God for generations to come sense that they are facing an oppressive enemy that's powerful, when they scan the horizon and they look out and there are enemies too many to count, when the human tools that they have feel so feeble and impotent to face such a force, Daniel hears from this divine messenger that God will take up the fight, that God will have a hand in this battle. God has not left them, and he will fight for them. And so, as Daniel is mourning and fasting and praying, this messenger described in verses 5 and 6 with clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold, and it unfolds. His eyes are like flaming torches, his arms and legs, and it has this appearance of like burnished bronze. And so you get the sense of like, wow. And when this person talks, it's as if it's the sound of multitude. And so Daniel comes into contact with this divine messenger and is reminded of this cosmic battle. He is told that while he has been praying and mourning, while he has been fasting from things like wine and meat, in verses 11 through 14, there has been spiritual warfare, cosmic battle that has been going on. He says to Daniel, "O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words I speak to you and stand upright, for now I've been sent to you." And he goes on to say, "Fear not," in verse 12. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before God, your words have been heard. And I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I was left there with the king of Persia and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision is for days yet to come. So this divine messenger shows up and he communicates a few truths for Daniel that are true for us today. One is that from the moment that Daniel set his heart to humble himself and to pray to God and to seek out God and to ask for help, his words were heard. God doesn't have to be manipulated with some special formula or some sacrificial system in order to have access to him. He can be approached through faith, so that when you turn to God and cry out in faith, he hears you. And yet this messenger was sent, but there seems to be some sort of battle that is going on, a cosmic battle that's happening that Daniel wasn't aware of until that moment. So from Daniel's perspective, he's mourning and praying and fasting. And this divine messenger lets him know, well, when you first prayed, that was heard, and I came. But this battle continued to play out, and the prince of Persia detained him. They were fighting it out, and then Michael, another divine messenger, shows up to help release him so that he can come and bring this vision to Daniel. And Daniel, hearing these things as he encounters this divine messenger, his strength begins to falter. I mean, he is almost on death's door, so to speak. And at three successive times, the messenger reaches out to encourage him and to lift his face. In verse 11, he spoke to him, and he encourages him to stand up, and Daniel stands up. In verse 16, after explaining how this warfare is playing out, he touches his lips and gives Daniel the strength to speak. And then in verse 18, before he unfolds that there's going to be more battle yet to come, he touches him and strengthens Daniel. And so we get this sense that there's not only the reality and circumstances that the people of God, including Daniel at that moment, are facing, but that there is more that's happening and that God is bringing his power to bear on behalf of his people. And that is one of the most important takeaways for you this morning, that as we go through the book of Daniel, we may have that question that gets raised. When I pray, does God hear me? Yes, the messenger says to Daniel and to you, he hears prayers in faith. Well, When the forces that I face, when the circumstances around me, when the oppressive powers that I'm coming into contact against, they seem insurmountable, and the things that I know and have and can do, they just seem so powerless, so weak in the face of such great opposition. What hope do I have? And Daniel's vision that he is presented with from this divine messenger is true not only for him, but true of you today, which is that God fights on behalf of his people, and that there is more going on than what you may often see or perceive. But that doesn't mean that God has forgotten. It doesn't mean that God is weak or doesn't care. It means you just don't see it. Yet God promises to not leave you, rather to fight for you. You may be wondering, how can I possibly know that's true? That sounds great, but if I can't see it, how can I know? And this is an important part of the Christian faith, because here in Daniel, there's a divine messenger who shows up. So Daniel, remember, he doesn't actually know. He can't kind of see this directly while he's praying and fasting and mourning. It's only when the divine messenger shows up and tells him, hey, I've been fighting on your behalf. I've been doing battle, and I'm going to go back and I'm going to do some more battle, because this isn't just stuff happening on earth. This is stuff happening in the cosmic realm as well. Well, some 500 years after Daniel has this vision of future wars to come and the cosmic warfare promise that God will show up on behalf of his people, Jesus himself arrives. Not just a messenger sent from God, but God himself bringing the message. And when Jesus arrives, he announces not only a word from the Lord in terms of a message, but he announces his presence as the word of the Lord, the final word when it comes to this cosmic battle. And so Jesus is the visible word for you and I today. What hope do we have when we can't see these things is that we can look back to the incarnate Jesus who has come to fight on behalf of his people. Now, here's one of the interesting twists in the Christian story of redemption, right? This is one of the interesting twists. When Daniel imagined that cosmic battle going on and then the earthly battle going on and kind of those two things happening side by side, they would have often envisioned, well, when the cosmic forces win, that looks like victory for us on the ground. That looks like whoever's in charge, whether it's the Babylonians, whether it's the Medes, whether it's the Persians, whether it's the Greeks, whether it's the Romans, when God wins the cosmic battle, we win on earth. And that was a pretty common expectation. So when Jesus shows up and he says, hey, I am the one who God has sent to bring this battle victory, there was all sorts of expectations about what a victory of Jesus would mean for the people of God on earth here and now. And this is one of the paradoxes of the Christian story, that when Jesus, in full faithfulness, when he arrived to bring about our deliverance in this battle, we may have expected it to look like a great earthly victory where we have all power and where we have all the resources that we need to live and to go on as we see fit. But here's what actually happened. When Jesus shows up, he, instead of going to a throne in earthly victory, goes to a cross. Jesus, in order to meet the demands of God's justice, in order to bring about true righteousness and peace and life everlasting for you and for me, in order to win the cosmic battle against sin and death, Jesus had to pay the price of sin himself for us. Now that is the paradox of Christian redemption. So that in some strange way, the cross and Jesus' death becomes the sign of victory. It becomes the means through which God brings about the final victory for God's people. How Jesus brings about righteousness and hope and peace and eternal life for us. How we can participate in this victory here and now. And so as Christians in the 21st century, when we find ourselves swimming in the ocean of faith, where everything from the gravitational effects between the earth and moon to the marine life around us, the circumstances that we can't control, the forces that seem far more powerful for us, when we're confronted with those realities in our day-to-day life, our hope, our security, our righteousness, our very lives are secure because of Jesus' victory. That is how the New Testament presents the picture of Christ's work on the cross, and even more, his resurrection to new life, is that he will return, and that when he does, it will be that final vision of victory where all that had been expected in the past now comes about, where evil will finally be dealt with, where a full restoration of all of those who have faced injustice will be at hand. That is our hope. So that as we live the Christian life, as we pray, as we fast, as we mourn, sometimes in the most difficult circumstances of life, we can be reminded of the word from God to Daniel, that God has not left you and that he fights for you. That is true for you and me today in Jesus Christ, our King. Amen. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this day and for the vision of Daniel and what that means for our lives. As we continue here in a moment with the prayers of the people and continue to pray together, I pray that you will give us hope, that you will bring it back around and make it clear to us that Jesus will not leave us today, tomorrow, or forever. Amen.